Near FM.
I am joined now by Policy and Research Officer Ciarán O'Driscoll. We are going to talk about a secure future and cyber security within the EU. Good afternoon, Ciarán, and welcome to the programme.
Hey there, how's it going?
Ciarán, I think that it's very apt that we should be talking about this today now. And I also think it's very apt that this report was published, because we in this country are very familiar with the side effects, I suppose, for a better way of putting it, of a cyber attack after the recent one during the summer on the HSE.
No, of course, because I think back in May when that happened, I remember seeing reports saying, staff saying that things had gone back to the 1970s in terms of they had to do things by paper, and it held up all sorts of stuff on top of everything with COVID. So I think it did wake people up in the kind of public about this, because I think most people think it's Ireland, sure, who would want to go near us now? Sure, aren't we way over here? Never mind us at all. But it kind of highlights how we are exposed to these type of, you know, ransomware attacks, is what happened to the HSE in May, and where you have like people's, you know, private medical information being held at ransom and everything else. So there was all that risks of data breaches and everything else. So it was, it's come at a good time, because it did bring that whole issue of cybersecurity kind of firmly into the public's mind.
And the other side of it then, I suppose, is, which I would be sort of maybe in that school of, sure, look, we're a little dot out on the out on the western seaboard of Europe, so nobody's going to bother with us, and everybody loves the Irish, and we'll be grand. But what struck me at the time, Ciarán, when it happened was, and it's something that I know you're probably not in a position to comment on it, but it struck me that it may have been a dummy run or a practice run for a much larger attack on a much larger economy than ours.
I wouldn't think so, because these types of ransomware attacks happen all the time. So like even I was reading up how in Italy last month there was this Italian Society of Publishers and Authors, and they suffered a ransomware attack. And these are kind of, you know, authors and artists and musicians and actors, and their information was held for ransom, and included stuff like, you know, their tax and health records and telephone numbers and emails and home addresses. So, like, and I'm sure they would think themselves, who would want our information? We're just kind of, you know, we're band members or something like that. So these things are happening all the time. I think the reason the ransomware attack kind of came as such a surprise to people in Ireland is because they don't happen very often in Ireland. But you can see how things can be targeted when, you know, if there's a gap in the system, or if there's a breach or something like that, where things are deliberately taken. So it's I wouldn't say this is like the laying the groundwork for something else. These things can happen again, and unfortunately they will happen again, and that's where like EU support and help is always needed for these kind of things.
And the one thing, I suppose, Ciarán, which I really focused the mind on was when that attack happened, is how fast everything just shuts down and it's gone. I mean, it's a flick of a switch. It literally is a flick of a switch, and everything either has to stop, or worse still, it's gone and you can't retrieve it. Now, how the matter was resolved, we're not fully aware, and I don't think we will ever be made aware of how it was fully resolved. But I mean, if they had gone full circle, they could have wiped everything off every computer in the HSE quite easily, I imagine.
I'd be no cybersecurity expert, but I would say there's definitely, you know, firewalls in place and stuff like that, where things are sectioned off, where, you know, it's not like you get one password and everything opens up. But it's interesting you kind of raise that, because it's something people are you know, thinking about now because of the ransomware attack. The president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, she said in September, when she was speaking before MEPs in the European Parliament, that, you know, we cannot talk about defence without talking about cyber. If everything is connected, everything can be hacked. So like that, there are things which, you know, she was talking about, you know, security and defence and everything else, but like that, the ransomware attack against the HSE was against medical information, you know, or average people just going about their lives. So there is a greater awareness now of trying to you know, while things are connected through, you know, digital and technology and the internet and everything else, there needs to be those safeguards to ensure that, you know, data that is collected and everything else is, you know, stored and is safe, and it's not going to be, you know, become a victim of something like this that happened in May to the HSE.
Kieran, it is cybercrime. No, what we're discussing is what's the cybersecurity, but I mean, it is cybercrime. And at the root of every crime, no matter what it is, anywhere in the world, is financial gain. And that is the bottom line here. Now, we are seeing these cyber attacks increasing. I mean, we had a pipeline held to ransom in America. You've had our own HSE. You had the NHS in England, I think, or in Britain, was attacked as well. There is obviously big money involved here if these criminals are successful. And from my limited knowledge of it, they don't need a massive array of computers in order to get in to somebody, some other organization. So it's a pretty, I would think, you know, they can commit a lot of serious damage and crime at a remove as well without having to. I mean, if you want to rob a bank, well, you have to kind of go in with a gun and demand the money. But if you can attack a bank via computer, you can transfer funds out of accounts if you can get into it.
Yeah, there is a case where, you know, with a few clicks of a button from someone sitting in their chair in their sitting room can kind of do all sorts of damage to kind of ordinary people. And it's interesting you mentioned the kind of the sums of money involved. That one in Italy with the Italian Society of Publishers and Authors, they were held, that it, the information they collected was held at ransom for about 420,000 euros, or you know, they would threaten this or else they would you know, release the information onto the dark web. So there's definitely big money involved in it, and I'm not too sure of the sums of money that were involved against the HSC, but both with that Italian case and with the HSC, they said not to pay because there's no guarantee they will, you know, give back the information. There's no guarantee they will bring back the systems up, or, you know, undo the damage that they did. So in most cases, the information is taken and there's the fallout from it. But the main thing is always never to pay up the money, because it just means they know they can get away with it again and again.
Yeah,
but
that's the whole thing, you see, Kieran. Of course, obviously it will encourage them. And I mean, the last thing anybody wants is to see criminals profiting from crime.
Of course.
Now, we are talking, and it's the kernel of our, even though the most interesting discussion up to now, but what we're talking about really is cybersecurity and the EU. Now, we are, thankfully, I may say, still part of the EU. So, how much in the greater scheme of things, and you mentioned Ursula von der Leyen there and her comments, how much are we in Ireland dependent on EU help for cybersecurity?
The when it comes to the EU, I suppose the main thing the EU tries to do is kind of, I suppose, one, provide coordination, so helping other member state bodies, you know, speak to other member state bodies to kind of share best practice, or, you know, maybe run trials. I know in October, I think some of the Baltic states and Baltic states and Poland, they ran a simulation. If their diplomatic services were, you know, under attack from a cyber attack, and, you know, help them figure out what they need to do and everything else. So that's the main thing the EU does with that, and what the EU is doing at the moment, because they've kind of published a new cybersecurity strategy, and there what they're kind of just trying to do is kind of be that kind of coordinator and overseer to ensure that member states, maybe do they have kind of, you know, common security strategies put in for, maybe, you know, think, like, as you mentioned, you know, energy grids or data centers that we keep hearing about, or hospitals. Are they ensuring that those kind of, you know, institutions have the means to defend themselves? And also then to ensure, like, do they have kind of risk assessments, and, you know, how's their resilience? So that's the big thing the EU is trying to do, is to kind of, you know, kind of push and prod member states to kind of work together more, to share information, to kind of share best practices, but also ensure to be like an overseer to ensure that, like, oh, the authorities in member states in Ireland or wherever else are actually kind of doing what they signed up to be doing, to ensure kind of, you know, that their cybersecurity strategies are, you know, fit for purpose, and they're working well, and they're kind of keeping on top of things, rather than let things drift, because, like, that if there is an attack like on the HSC, or if there's like a power plant to shut down, that causes huge damage for, you know, businesses and the economy, and just for everyday people trying to go around their lives and everything else. Like, I can't imagine the people who were impacted by the HSC ransomware attack with their private medical information being put out there like that. So the EU is trying to ensure those kind of things don't happen together, but again, by trying to coordinate more with member states and to try to ensure that they do what they have signed up to do.
Yeah, and it's very interesting you mention it there, Ciarán, because the other side of it is, and I mean, while we're here in Dublin, and Dublin is in Ireland, and Ireland is in Europe, this is, I would suggest, and I see that the EU are very much in favour of this, this has to be a global concerted effort, because, you know, from anywhere, you can hit any country now without ever having to leave your basement. And as well as that, as you and I know, and everybody knows, I mean, we have companies from all over the world operating here in Ireland, and we have Irish companies operating all over the world. So we're all interlinked now. So it's a joint global initiative is really what's needed.
No, definitely. I couldn't agree with you more. A bit like the thing with the global corporate tax stuff that happened there recently. You know, that was a... was it like over 130 countries and stuff were involved in that, and I think the same thing will have to come with cybersecurity, where the EU can do its own thing with policy. We can try and educate people. I know the National Cybersecurity Centre here in Ireland, they've like great number of stuff online to read up about. But you know, most of these kind of threats do come from outside the EU, and it's important that, you know, while we combat them here within the EU, that there needs that kind of global framework and legislation and whatever else is needed to ensure that these kind of things are kind of, you know, stopped where the sources, if they do happen outside the EU. So definitely I think down the line it will have to come to be like some kind of a UN-led initiative to ensure that, like, you know, as many countries as possible, similar to the corporate tax rate agreement that happened recently, that it's done on a global level rather than an individual country or a member state in the EU or within the EU itself.
Ciarán, are we in this country, are we kind of, you know, sort of the typical Irish attitude, sure, it'll be grand and we'll long finger it and we'll have a look at that tomorrow, or we'll have a look at that next week and we'll see what we can do about it. Have we got that sort of an attitude, or has the HSE attack really woken us up?
I say it is a combination of both, I think, because I think what they call, digital literacy is kind of how they term that, in terms of being aware of, your right to buy stuff online, what are your rights there in terms of the EU, or just being aware of where your data is being stored or where it's transferred and everything else. And I think we were kind of happy to kind of, you know, that's a bit too much of an information. I won't go into that now, because, you know, people have the kids to pick up from school, or there's the dinner to put on, or work and everything else. So I think people trying to sit down, you know, after a day's work, to kind of learn about their rights in the digital world isn't the most easiest thing that they want to start doing after work and dinner. But it does, unfortunately, the world we live in, whether if it's paying your property tax, or if you're going to the bank, or, you know, any kind of transaction, and you see stuff like Revolut now, these kind of digital banks, you know, increasingly everything we do is through our phone, through the internet, through whatever kind of services that we need to use or want to use, if we're booking a flight or booking a taxi or whatever else. And it's important to know, you know, the kind of interaction in terms of you using what's on your phone or your computer. And because increasingly, and we're seeing it's a thing called the digitalization of things, where, you know, for example, you don't need to walk into a bank now to transfer money or to lodge money or to, you know, just make a transfer between accounts. You know, that can all be done on your phone. But what happens if, you know, that kind of system is attacked from like a ransomware attack or a cyber attack or something like that? That kind of a service just grinds to a halt. So we need to be kind of more aware, and there are, you know, things out there to kind of read up on, like the National Cybersecurity Centre, as I said, have stuff online to read up about this, and there's oodles of stuff, particularly for kids and stuff. You know, I'm conscious of my own two young nephews. They're the generation now where everything is online through an app and everything else. So I'm conscious of their own education in terms of, like, and them, because for them it'll only be online. You know, there won't be the days myself now where in primary school it was the dial-up internet, and you know that might work once a week or something like that. But so it's definitely the HSC attack back in May did wake people up, and hopefully it's the start of where people kind of do start to engage on their digital rights and stuff that they and you know and how they engage with the online world. Because while we talk about the online and offline world, unfortunately the online world seems to consume a lot of our time every day.
It does, and to my way of thinking, probably okay. I mean, it's super efficient and it makes life awfully easy and convenient and everything like that. But the trade-off for that then is that, like you mentioned there in relation to banks, we're losing the person-to-person and the human contact that we grew up with, and that's gone. I mean, you go into a bank now and there's an usher there that'll bring you to whatever machine is there that wants that'll do the job you want to do, whereas before you waited in the queue and you were chatting to the person in front of you and behind you, and then you got to the top and you had a teller. That's gone. That's a thing of the past, you know. So progress comes at a price, I think, Kieran.
No, and I agree with you there. And like for myself, maybe you can tell by the accent, West Cork is home. And like that, while there is, you know, changes with machines and stuff like that, even in the local bank at home, you know, people, you know, still need to have the face-to-face to kind of figure out things or need help or just, you know, chat and social interaction, you know, particularly for, you know, elderly people, you know, the trip to the post office or to the bank, whatever, once or twice a week is a big part of their lives. So while, yes, you know, it's the efficiency of I can transfer money easy peasy from one account to the other and everything else, but yeah, you know, there does come with the cost, and I think that's kind of maybe, you know, be urban or rural, these are things that you know, people won't like, and there'll probably be some kind of, hopefully, you know, that change, that there's some balance, that you know, it's not all, you know, just talking to a computer the whole time, that you do need the face to face, because there are some things that people and humans can only do. So I would agree with you there that there is, you know, while it's all great and everything else, there are people who do need it and rely on it and will need it down the line and everything else for various reasons.
And the world is definitely in its last spin. Two Corkmen talking on a Dublin radio station about cyber security throughout the world. We are in the ascendancy, my friend.
Yes.
Kieran, the other thing is, I presume, without knowing it for definite, but it would be very stupid for it not to be happening, that when I say that this is a topic which is under constant review, particularly in Europe, when I say constant, I would think probably hourly.
Increasingly so, because the issue of cybersecurity, like, it spills over into the economy, the financial services, security and defense, and we see here with the HSC attack, you know, health or even in education, I imagine, in some cases, with, you know, universities and the kind of information that they hold. So it's kind of, because the online world, as I said, is everywhere now in our offline world, that it's something that the EU is always looking at, and it's looking from a kind of a strategic perspective in terms of how to ensure that, you know, what happens if there's some, you know, toll booths or you know, automatic toll booths are targeted or something like that, or there's some key pieces of infrastructure like electricity grids that are attacked down the line. These are things that, you know, impact people and businesses and the running of things. So it's something that the EU is increasingly aware of, and, you know, like that, wants to help member states to kind of to coordinate with one another, to kind of speak more to each other, and to ensure that, you know, we're actually fulfilling the obligations that come with certain pieces of EU laws around, you know, security and defence and everything else, or with the cyber security.
One thing before I part company with you this afternoon, Kieran, are we in a time of the year right now, and predominantly more so maybe as the days and the weeks get closer to the 25th of December, where something like this is more likely, because traffic on internet and on all platforms is increasing, so is it easier? Does that provide cover for a bad actor to slip in and do damage?
Definitely. Like you, maybe some of your listeners and stuff would have been aware. I know I was plagued by them earlier in the year. These kind of false text messages saying that, oh, there's a parcel on its way to you from Unpost, or your bank is contacting you, and all you should do is click this link on the text message and it'll send you to something. And unfortunately, there were a number of people who were kind of attacked like that, or their information was taken from them. And with that, it just comes at a time where, yeah, because of COVID, as well as Christmas, we are online just a lot more. And I know for myself, I'm ordering a lot of stuff more online and everything else. So sometimes like that, you know, they're chancing their arm, you know, sending out these random text messages from Unpost, or trying to pretend to be from Unpost or whoever else, saying that there's something on your way. And I know I've had to, you know, catch myself once or twice thinking, have I actually ordered something, or has that thing already been delivered? So it's just about being vigilant, and, you know, particularly, you know, when it comes to like your own private information, be it banking or health or your insurance and everything else, it's always a case of just being cautious. And I know some people where a bank, in, you know, tried to contact them looking for their information, and they just hung up saying, I'll contact the actual bank in my own time. And they did contact their local branch, who told them, yeah, that wasn't us, we never do that kind of stuff. So always just being a bit vigilant is always the biggest thing. And then, as much as we're, you know, kind of talking about online, it's where you'll find information around this kind of stuff. Or just being a bit more aware of things, be you, you know, either, you know, depending on what age you are and what you do and everything else.
Policy and Research Officer Ciarán O'Driscoll. Ciarán, from an North Corkman to a West Corkman, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. I have a feeling that as 2022 progresses, we'll be chatting again, because, as I said, this is going to be a developing and ongoing situation, because I would think as fast as the cybersecurity experts block one avenue, the cyber criminals will find another way in, and this is going to be an ongoing battle of wits between the security experts and the criminals. Ciarán, I'll just thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. It has been a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Bye-bye now, bye-bye.
Good luck.
Now, my friends, you heard it there from the horse's mouth, and I'm sure Ciarán won't object to me referring to it like that. We spoke a lot about international targeting of various institutions and facilities. Individuals, people, are also targeted. Those text messages purporting to be from Unpost or purporting to be from your bank or somebody else, be very, very aware and be very, very careful. I mean, it's amazing how many text messages I've got from Bank of Ireland telling me that there's a problem with my account. I don't have a Bank of Ireland account. So that's just to give you an example of what we're talking about.
This is Lear FM
90.3.